In today's gospel, we have the story of the woman caught in adultery, a familiar story to all of us, and a story that deals with the oldest of scandals. Of course, it's the stuff of classic comedy as well as tragedy, from Molière down to Nathaniel Hawthorne and the Scarlet Letter, and into our own day. We have an echo of this in the first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. There's the story of the innocent Susanna, who is accused wrongly by a couple of dirty old men. What we have in these two readings today are the makings of a couple of B-movies, or what we really have is a masterpiece of religious literature. What we really have are two masterpieces about the triumph of truth and the triumph of healing. We have two happy endings. Both stories, however, are really not about adultery, whether one is falsely accused or rightly accused. They are two stories about hypocrisy. They're about the hypocrisy of religion itself. The ugly and often ignored truth is that hypocrisy is at its best, or shall we say, at its worst, in the world of religion. Hypocrisy is never more hideous than when it dresses itself up in religious garb. We're talking about pious frauds. And the sad truth is that oftentimes the counterfeit looks better than the real thing. Religion is meant to heal the wounds of our humanity. And yet there are those that use it as a bludgeon. Sexual sins, of course, are not the gravest. They are, however, often treated as such. It was true in Jesus' day in the story that we have before us. It was true long before that in the time of Daniel, and Lord knows it's true in our own day. There are so many examples in the press, tabloid stories galore, television shows that specialize in people's peccadilloes. Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of that moment, as he often did. There are many stories in the gospel of Jesus taking on those who would hold themselves up as paragons of faith and virtue. Jesus loved to expose the pious frauds of his day, and he does it right here in a most poignant way, in a tender way, in this gospel story. He does it with truth. We see that Jesus, when he's confronted by the Pharisees and asked, well, what are you going to do about this woman? The law says that we're supposed to stone her, and that's what we're about to do, because we are following the dictates of our faith. And what would you do, Master? And Jesus doesn't really say anything. The gospel tells us that he bends down into the ground, and he begins to trace his finger in the dirt. We don't know what he's tracing. It doesn't tell us. But whatever he was doing was threatening enough that one by one, as they began to watch Jesus continue to doodle into the sand, a crowd began to leave. They dropped their stones and quietly walked away. I remember as a little boy being taught in school that Jesus was writing their sins in the sand. We don't really know if that is true or not. But perhaps people thought that he was capable of doing that. And whatever he was writing was threatening enough to cause them to leave in a hurry. Until no one was left except Jesus and the woman herself. The woman cowering on the ground, she was more than likely holding her hands over her head to protect her in some futile attempt to save her from the blows of the stones that would hit her. She's lying in the ground, suddenly aware that people seem to have gone away. She dares to look up and she sees only Jesus. Jesus who asks her, well, who is here to condemn you? And she looks up, she says, I guess no one. Nor do I condemn you, says Jesus. He drove the hypocrites away. He drove them away with truth. He drove them away, perhaps with a threat, to expose the truth about their own lives. Jesus was never scandalized by sin. What did he do with sin? He forgave it. He was, however, scandalized and enraged by the hypocrites of his day. And the same is true in our own day. We have this tender encounter today between Jesus and this woman. Jesus, who bends down and picks her up, a life that was being exposed before the whole town. And who knows how many of those men holding a rock in their hands were her own customers. Jesus restores her life, reminds her that an encounter with the living God is not one of condemnation. It is not one to sentence us. It is one that heals us. The woman was wrong, unlike Susanna, who was innocent. This woman caught in adultery that day before Jesus. She was wrong. Her guilt was obvious. But what was more wrong was the public display of condemnation. Those hands raised with a rock, ready to strike her. And the same is true in our own day. The real issue here is one of hypocrisy. The real issue here is one to expose the hypocrisy in our own hearts, in our own society, and dare I say, in our own church. The lesson, of course, we have to take away from this gospel is one of being convinced in our own hearts of the constant and tender compassion of Jesus, which is there for us when we fail. That same Jesus who picked that woman up off of the ground is there to raise us up out of the dust as well. But more importantly, this is a story about hypocrisy. It is a story about how we deal with sin today and how we deal with those who fail. How we as individuals practice either compassion or sit on our high horses and hold a rock in our hands. We take the high ground and stand to condemn, to expose, rather than to reach out in healing. We have so many television shows today that specialize in exposing people's peccadilloes before audiences of millions, shaming people rather than helping them, people who need therapy and not to be exposed. And yet we delight in passing the time and munching our potato chips and swilling down a Coca-Cola and entertaining ourselves on lives that are unraveling before our eyes. Something wrong in a Christian heart that finds delight in the disasters of a person's personal life. Are we there to heal or are we there to condemn? Our own church, with all of its own secrets tumbling out of closets right now, is in no position to raise a hand with a stone. We are there to raise a hand of healing. Those of us who are ministers of the gospel need to ask ourselves as Lent begins to draw to a close, are we here? Are we reaching out with a healing hand? Are we making Jesus come alive again, that Jesus who raised that woman from the dust? Or are we pointing a finger and driving people away in their sins and in their failings and in their shame? I guess I'm old-fashioned. And I like happy endings. And I like the happy endings that we have in the scriptures today. I have to ask myself, what can I do in the next few days to bring about a happy ending for someone else and their tragedy and their pain and their shame?